Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 4, verses 43 and 44. John chapter 4, verses 43 and 44. And keep in mind this subject, a prophet without honor, a prophet without honor. Let's read. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Now that's a statement that you'll find repeated in Matthew. And you'll find that same statement repeated in Mark. And the point is, or actually in Luke, Luke chapter 4, verse 24, and Matthew chapter 13, verse 57. And what happens is that it's very strange that the very people that the Lord Jesus Christ went to save, I've not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he said, they are the ones who refused to give him the honor that was due him. And he was their own person. He was their own kind. He was from their own country. And it's also true in history that the prophets were maligned for their preaching to help the Jews. Look over here in Matthew chapter 23 when he said this statement about a prophet is not without honor but in his own country. That's a true statement, not only of the Lord Jesus Christ but also of the other prophets. Look in Matthew chapter 23, verse 31. Jesus Christ is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. That's the way they treated them. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? You know, that's a verse not often quoted by those who only see the tender side of Jesus Christ. And then look what he says in verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. So not only is it true in the life of Jesus Christ, it's also true historically, it was also true prophetically, that the prophets just not he doesn't get any honor in his own country. And the reason stems from something that Amos said back in the Old Testament. Amos chapter 5, verse 10. Amos said, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Sometimes it's necessary, like Solomon said, open rebuke is better than secret love. But as soon as you say the very thing that needs to be said in order to help the individual out, rather than receive the rebuke, they're scornful and want to take your head off. And he said, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. He's telling the truth and they just don't want to hear it. Now you've probably experienced some of that in your own life, trying to go back to your own family and your own friends, and they criticize you and look at you funny like something bad's happened to you. And in fact, you're trying to help them, and you of all people have the best opportunity to help them because, first of all, you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you know them. And secondly, you know that they need the Lord Jesus Christ because you've hung around with them doing the same things with them that were getting you in trouble before you got saved. And you're the best of all people to tell them about Jesus Christ, and you go in and prophesy their doom in hell and their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they were to, you know, receive him and be able to go to heaven, and they abhor you in many cases. But in Jesus' case, he said, a prophet is not without honor, or a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And if anybody should have been honored, it should have been Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. Why? Why was Jesus Christ so worthy of honor in the midst of these people that he'd come to save? Well, there's five reasons that we can find, at least five reasons from the Bible, just cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture. One great reason that Jesus Christ should have been honored as a prophet and as the Savior is because God honors him. Look in Psalm chapter 8, verse 5. God honors him. You know, in other words, if God Almighty is going to do this, then certainly men should do this. If God Almighty is going to do this, then certainly the Jews should have done it, because after all, he came to save them. Psalm chapter 8, verse 5. Right in the middle of a context. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Oh, and then he goes down to the end of the chapter here, and he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, you know, when he begins to speak about this, crowning him with glory and honor, he's speaking of man in verse 4. But then when you go to Hebrews to do the cross-reference, do you find this thing has something to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Hebrews chapter 2, look at verses 6 through 8. We're dealing in a context all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 5, For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, wherever we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. And then he goes on and finishes in verse 8, But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See how the thing comes out in the cross-reference? It's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, since God has crowned him with honor, what do you think man should do? Now, not only that, let's look at something else. Jesus Christ is worthy of honor. He was worthy of honor back then. He's worthy of honor now because not only does God honor him and crowned him with honor, but he did it vocally while Jesus Christ was on the earth. Look in Matthew. Well, better yet, look in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 17. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 16, speaking of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are eyewitnesses of his majesty, Peter says, For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Peter heard that testimony given by God Almighty concerning the Lord Jesus Christ while they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He received from God the Father honor and glory. Now, if God did it while Jesus was in the earth, God did it in eternity, then we should do that. And they should have done it in Jesus' day. But he says a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Why else should he be honored? Not only because God does, but because of his worthiness. His worthiness. Look in Revelation chapter 4. Now, up in heaven, they don't have any problem with this at all. They're honoring the Lord Jesus Christ continuously because he's worthy. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Jesus Christ is worthy, and he should have received honor from those folks then, and he certainly deserves honor from us now because of his worthiness. He created us, and if it hadn't been for the creation, we wouldn't be here to praise him. We were here for his pleasure. That's why we were created. And when the things that were created will not give him honor, what do you think that does to the Lord Jesus Christ? He's worthy because of his worthiness. He's to be honored because of his worthiness. He's also to be honored because of his greatness. His greatness. Look at Psalm 104, verse 1. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. What is his clothing? Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain? Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire? Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever? He's talking about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ there. And he's talking about being covered with light like he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you know who did that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. You know, the person deserving honor is the greatest person that's in the universe. And the greatest person in the universe is the Lord Jesus Christ. And by virtue of his greatness, he deserves our honor because there is nobody greater than he. He's God Almighty. Now, he's in subjection to God the Father, but they are the same God, just different persons. So if you say it in the terms of persons, then you would say, in fact, that God the Father is worthy of honor more so than Jesus Christ. And in that, Jesus Christ agrees. Jesus Christ said in John 8:49, I honor my Father. All right then? Okay. We honor him and he honors the Father, and that takes care of the whole thing. He's great. He's worthy. And God Almighty honors him. But that's not the only reason why we should. And that's not the only reason why those people then should have. Listen, they heard the voice of God. They heard the testimony of the disciples. At Jesus Christ's baptism, the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. They heard the testimony of the disciples, and based upon that, they should have honored him. Based upon the fact that he is the Creator, they should have honored him. John, the disciple, the one who wrote the gospel, said about Jesus Christ, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He deserved their honor. And not only because of his greatness and his worthiness, but also because of his judgment, he deserved their honor. Look in John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. John chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Why? Because the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, you're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of everything you've done. And based on that, he deserves your honor. Listen, when a man goes to a courtroom and faces the judge, how does he address him? He says, your honor, I thus and thus. Even when one of the attorneys approaches the bench and speaks to the judge, he says, your honor. And then he discusses the matter. Likewise, when you approach Jesus Christ because of the judgment that God has given him, he deserves your honor, and he deserved their honor. He told them. They knew they should have honored him. Because Jesus Christ said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Given that fact, they should have honored him and approached him as your honor. They wouldn't do it. Why? Because a prophet has no honor in his own country. Why else did Jesus Christ deserve honor? Because it's God's command. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, it's God's command, spoken or written by Paul to Timothy, and recorded for all eternity. The Bible says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a command to honor Jesus Christ. And they needed to honor Jesus Christ in their day because God the Father had done the same and honored Jesus Christ. Because he was worthy, because of his greatness, because of his judgment, and because of God's command. You know something? Don't let it be the case that Jesus Christ doesn't have any honor in your country, in your house. You say, you know something? I realize that the Lord Jesus Christ deserves honor as a prophet, as the Savior, as God Almighty, because of the things that you've said. But my question is, how do I honor him? Well, it's very simple. The first way to honor the Lord Jesus Christ is to get saved. Look in Jeremiah chapter 33. The greatest way in the world to honor the Lord Jesus Christ is to get saved. That's true. Look what it says. Then this is an honor for God to be able to do this. You know how when you do something for somebody else, you say, it's an honor to do that for you. And what did he do for you? Or what will he do for you? Well, look in Jeremiah chapter 33 at verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. Well, who does that? That's Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. It's an honor for Jesus Christ to cleanse away your iniquity and to pardon all your iniquity. The greatest way in the world you can honor the Lord Jesus Christ is to accept him, to receive him and to accept the work that he did in your behalf. He took your place as a substitute on the cross of Calvary to save your soul. And the greatest honor you can give him is to receive him. The thief on the cross did. One of them did. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. God thought so much of that, he put that in Scripture, and he put the response in Scripture. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's an honor to God. But that's not the only way. Because you say, I'm saved already. I've already done that. How else can I honor God? Do right. Now, that's a little tougher. Look in Isaiah chapter 58. Do right. Now, Isaiah chapter 58 has to do with fasting. And he's getting on the Jews because they were fasting to get God's attention, but they were messed up. They were doing it all wrong. They were disobeying the laws and, you know, exacting wages of their people. It was a bad deal. In Isaiah 58:13, in that context, here's what he tells them. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. You know, they were working on the Sabbath and merchandising on the Sabbath, and he wanted them to quit doing that. And he said, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and so forth. So he said, you're going to have to get away from your own ways and your own pleasures and your own words and honor him. So the second way to honor God is to do right. To do right. Get saved and do right. Well, these Pharisees that Jesus Christ was talking to, that's what they didn't want to do. They didn't want to receive him as their Messiah, and they didn't want to get right. He pointed out the areas in Matthew chapter 23 where they were wrong with him, and all they did after that is get mad. Not doing thine own ways. You know, the hardest thing in Christianity after you get saved is to examine yourself to realize that most of what you thought was God's will was your own self-will, and the hard thing to do is to yield yourself to God's will and do the right thing. But that's the way to honor him. Here's another way to honor him. Praise him in humility. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that lesson. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, God had to send Nebuchadnezzar out into the backyard to eat grass like an ox for a period of time because he wouldn't give God the glory and he wouldn't give God honor. He kept proclaiming his own majesty and his own wealth and his own wisdom and all those other things. So God gave him a little time to go out there in the backyard and eat some grass like an ox. And after he came out of a 7-year experience of that thing, he changed his mind. And in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Pray, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." He had personal experience in that department. So another great way to honor God is to praise him in humility. Now, I'll tell you, these days, people seem to be praising themselves an awful lot. "Look what great thing I can do, pa-da-da-da-da. But not he that commendeth himself, but whom God commendeth." That's what we're looking for. That's the one that gets the glory. Now, in this case, we need to praise him in humility and get away from our pride. That honors God. Because then we realize nothing that we're doing would be possible if it weren't for God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know another way to honor God? Give. Proverbs 3:9. Listen to what it says now. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." You know, a person that would withhold giving from God is a person who doesn't honor the Lord. You'll give something to somebody that you honor, and when you fail to do that, you're not honoring God. You may think you honor him because you do a good job of praising and hold out on your money, but let me tell you something. You need to give things to the Lord. It's what he said to do. And here's another way. Proverbs 14:28, "You can honor God by winning souls." Now listen carefully to this. "In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince." In other words, a growing Christianity and a growing church of saved people is an honor to God Almighty. Because it says, "In the multitude of people is the king's honor." Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the more people that you can bring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater the honor that he gets from you. Isn't that great? They honor him up there in heaven. God did with a voice. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." They do all around the throne. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We honor him for his greatness. We honor him for his judgment. We honor him because God told us to. And we honored him when we got saved, and we honor him every time we choose to do right against our own ways and our own pleasures and our own words. That's an honor to God. And we honor him when we praise him in humility and recognizing, like Jesus said, "Without me you can do nothing," that we're doing those things that only God could do through us. We honor him when we give, and we honor him when we lead other souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can't listen to a week of these broadcasts without hearing an admonition from the Bible and from this preacher that you need to tell people about Jesus Christ so they can be saved. Now, there are a lot of people out there that have you to believe God takes care of all that work by himself and you don't have to open your mouth. Let me tell you something. Don't let it be the case that you don't bring a multitude of people to Jesus Christ. In the multitude of people is the king's honor. Help out there. Win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, now, preacher, there's five specific things right there that I can do to honor God. Jesus Christ is worthy, he's great, his judgment is good, God honors him, it's God's command, so I'll know what to do. If you're not saved, get saved. If you're living wrong as a Christian, get right with God. If you're not praising him, start praising him in humility and quit bringing attention to yourself. If you're not giving, start giving. If you're not telling others about Jesus Christ, begin to open up your mouth. But I'm going to tell you, there's two problem areas that you're going to encounter. First is lip service, and the second is self-esteem. The first is lip service, and the second is self-esteem. Listen to this from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Now, what was their problem? They drew near with their mouth. In other words, it's possible to praise him in humility, but have your heart in the wrong place. "And with their lips do honor me." Good to be able to tell some other folks about what Jesus Christ is doing. but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Be very, very careful that you be absolutely sure that when you say, I love God, praise God, glory to God, God bless, and all that other stuff that's real common today, you better be sure that that thing is coming from a heart that honors God and not just from a mouth that does so when it's convenient in front of other people. Amen? Second problem, self-esteem. Big problem. John chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus got on him and he said, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? The second problem is this self-esteem thing, this thing of where you're getting honor one of another. You know, there's a lot of that stuff going on today. There are scholars, there are preachers, there are dignitaries in Christian circles, and they are getting honor that comes from men. Dr. So-and-so, big shot so-and-so, big pastor so-and-so, and I don't take anything away from any man that has earned all that stuff and has done that for the glory of God. Don't get me wrong. Not everybody that has that is seeking honor from men. Please don't misunderstand me there 1 minute. But I'm going to tell you, there was a book written not too long ago about a prophet with honor. And he got honor from the people that he was preaching to in the country where he was preaching because he began to compromise his stand on the words of God in order to get along with folks. And he started receiving honor from other people. And when that happened, he missed out on that honor that cometh from God only. So let me say to you, when Jesus Christ said what he said in John chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. That's the absolute truth. He didn't get it then. You won't get it with your family and friends now, and the prophets of old didn't get it. But in Jesus' case, he's worthy, he's great, his judgment demands it, God's commandment demands it, God himself gave it to him. So get saved, do right, praise him in humility, give and win souls, and remember, lip service is cheap, you better bring it from a good heart, and be sure you're not getting honor from other men, or you will take away the honor that comes from God only.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.